What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Back to the best Giants talk in the Bay, the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7, The Game.
All right, we are back on the wrap here. About an hour to go here as Giants, again, game two against the Mets tonight at 6:05. It's Stephen Curry bobblehead night.
Yeah. He's going to be there.
He is going to be there. Oh, well, you'd hope so. It's going to be there for his bobblehead night. I'm going to be in the stands tonight. I'm not going with a press pass, but I don't anticipate getting there early enough to get the bobblehead. We were looking up the bobblehead yesterday, and I guess there's two bobbleheads they're giving out tonight. There's the special event Steph Curry superhero bobblehead, which they say it's Steph Curry, and I'll just take their word for it. It in no way, shape, or form looks like Stephen Curry. And then they have the mass-produced one that they're giving out to, I believe it's the first 15,000 fans. And that's him. He's wearing a Giants jersey. And he's just kind of, you know, chilling on a baseball bat that he's like using as like a walking stick or something like that, which, I don't know. I'd rather have like Steph Curry shooting a three in a Giants jersey as a bobblehead, but I don't know. That's
Has there ever been in the history of bobbleheads been a good one?
Yes.
Which
lots
one?
Of them. Oh, lots of them. I have a massive collection of bobbleheads.
No, I mean in terms of it being a good portrayal, or at least
they actually look like
the player that's being.
I mean,
depicted.
The Crazy Crab bobblehead I have looks a lot like the Crazy Crab. but no, I thought you were saying like a good bobblehead that just like it looks cool.
No, I mean, is there? You know, I actually had a. This is going to be the ultimate drop. I had a bobblehead. This is at Safeco or Quest Field. There was a Dan Devone bobblehead, believe it or not. And they also
did a Dan Devone bobblehead.
Oh, it was so brutal. It was so brutal. And they did a Jones. Is it Jones Soda? Do you remember that?
I don't.
Where they literally had my picture on a soda. I believe it was Jones Soda that would use actual people. Their faces on soda pop, on a soda bottle. I want to say it was Jones. I could be mistaken. Anyways, my point is those things, man, they are not flattering. There's never been a bobblehead where I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good depiction of this particular player or former player.
I'm looking it up now to see if I can find this Dan Devone bobblehead online.
Oh, you
but
won't find it.
What about
Jones? Is it Jones Soda that did the...
Jones, so I need to look. Yeah, maybe look that up. But I feel like being part of like the I feel like a bobblehead. It can't look exactly like. It has to be a little off, but it can't be like so ridiculously off that it doesn't look like him. Like the superhero one that they're doing. I looked at it, Dan. I don't know if you watched that show Clipped on FX. No. It was also on Hulu.
Oh,
it was about.
Talk to me. Is it good?
It depends on how into the LA Clippers you are. It's about the Clippers during that 2013 playoff run when Donald Sterling, all that stuff happened. It's more of a Donald Sterling show, but it details his affair, the whole thing with V. Stiviano and the impact that had on the team. And I don't know if they did this on purpose or if they just didn't know what the people in the show look like, but so they had Lawrence Fishburne playing Doc Rivers, and those two look not at all much alike. And all the characters look literally nothing like the people they were playing. Blake Griffin looked like a guy in IT. DeAndre Jordan, the guy who played DeAndre Jordan, was probably 7 inches shorter than DeAndre Jordan and several pounds heavier. Chris Paul looked like what Cliff Paul would actually look like.
Were they actually playing?
No. They were playing on like TV playing. But No, the actors they cast to play these players look absolutely nothing like them. And the guy playing Steph Curry, again, looked absolutely nothing like Steph Curry. The bobblehead they have for the superhero bobblehead looks like the kind of Steph Curry that would appear in the show Clipped, which had probably one of the worst casting jobs I've ever seen for all these
when
actors.
When it comes to sports movies or shows, I am so out. We're so acutely aware of these things because we do this for a living. But the minute they're like, oh, that, first of all, that's not plausible. Mm-hmm. That guy can't play. That is not Steph Curry. I can't watch the show. I don't care the content or how well it's written.
The guy who played Draymond Green had like an afro.
Oh.
What are we doing here? The guy playing Klay Thompson, he did not look like, he looked like Klay Thompson if Klay Thompson was Hispanic. It was comical how poorly represented these actors were.
That's why Quentin Tarantino is a genius. I could listen to Quentin Tarantino all day long. I think he's brilliant. I think he's a brilliant person.
He's one of my favorite directors ever. Yeah.
He's one of my favorite
people. Huge Tarantino.
If you ever listen to him, watch Bill Maher on whatever his podcast is, where they literally like drink and smoke and they talk for like 2 hours. It's the most brilliant conversation between these two men who are getting, wasted at the time. But Quentin Tarantino, Pulp Fiction. I don't know if you're a Pulp Fiction fan.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I've seen a lot of Tarantino.
He did not want to show Bruce Willis, who was the boxer, fighting, right? You didn't see Bruce Willis boxing. You saw him afterwards after he didn't throw the match, right? Mm-hmm. He actually knocked the guy. He actually killed the guy. You just see him after the match getting into the cab. For those of you that watch Pulp Fiction, because Bruce Willis is not an athlete. If he was to depict Bruce Willis boxing, you'd be like, oh, you just lost all of your authenticity. In fact, Matt Dillon, who was initially casted to be Bruce Willis, didn't do the part because he's like, well, where's the boxing scene? I'm a boxer. I should have this. Why aren't we showing the bout? And
why are you going to have me as a boxer?
Quentin
if I'm not
Tarantino's
box?
Like, no, I don't want to do that. They did the same thing in the Michael Jordan movie where you never heard from Michael Jordan, or you basically never saw Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah. The shoe movie, Air or whatever.
Air. Yeah. Or was it Air? Or,
yeah. Whatever. Yeah. The movie about the Air Jordan shoes. Yeah.
And the reason Ben Affleck, who directed it, he said, because we all know who Michael Jordan is.
Yeah.
There is nobody that I could find or I could cast that is going to look like Michael Jordan. You are going to immediately say that's not Michael Jordan. And so there's not even a reason or a point for me to try. So you would just see a silhouette.
Yeah.
Or the back of this character who was portrayed.
Because it's implied. And also, Michael Jordan was only so much a part of the story. I mean, the movie was about Michael Jordan, but he wasn't a part of that story. So that makes sense. But yeah, no, Clipped, it was just like, you know what? We're never going to find anyone who looks like Blake Griffin. We're never going to find anyone who looks like J.J. Redick. So let's just find people who look absolutely nothing like them. Just roll with it. I thought it was funny. So anyway, yeah, I saw that Steph Curry bobblehead, and that's what I thought of there. So
what about Running Point? Is that any good? I haven't seen it.
Running Point, I have not seen that one either.
I think it has to do with the NBA. It's Kate Hudson. It's apparently pretty popular.
Okay. Kate Hudson's in it now. I check it out. One thing we're going to check out right now is the status of one Landon Roop, who again, Dan, it was he was put on the IL yesterday, 15 days. They're pretty optimistic. When I say they, I mean the Giants. I mean Bob Melvin. I mean Landon Roop. A lot of optimism that it will be a quick stay. And if you don't believe me on that, well, why don't you just hear from them himself? Here's Landon Roop on if he is worried about his elbow.
I'm not too worried about it. The last couple of starts have been feeling a little tight and tightened up on me a little bit more the last one in Atlanta. But so far with the imaging and stuff, it was really good news. So. Just the plan right now is to no throw for a week and get back after that.
And then Bob Melvin was also asked. So Bob talked before Landon, but I played Landon first. Here's Bob Melvin on his confidence of Landon returning after the 15 days.
Do you feel confident the 15 days will be all that Landon needs before he can come back?
You never know, but yes, we are. We felt like we caught it at the right time, and he did pitch well that particular day. It just bothered him some to where I didn't let him go out for the sixth, even though his pitch count was kind of manageable. But we feel like we're in a pretty good spot with him and feel good about it being 15 days.
Yeah, it was good for that guy to ask that question there. So, yeah, a lot of optimism that he will get back on time there. So does that kind of ease the anxiety that comes from a headline like that when you see elbow inflammation from a pitcher? Because Eric Miller, again, had a similar injury pop up, elbow sprain, IL. It's been 4 or 5 weeks since then. And there's a lot of Giants fans who I think would not be shocked if Eric Miller doesn't throw another pitch this year. I'm feeling not as pessimistic about Landon Roop. I do believe that he'll be back much sooner than later.
Yeah, and what sort of alleviates some of that concern is the performance of Gage, who is this left-hander that's eating up middle inning relief and has been good up to this point. When it comes to Landon Roop, you know, it's just, again, you won't really know until he comes back, and even then, he's going to be under the watchful eye of everybody because he's in, you know, he's in uncharted territory where he's never been pushed this far into a baseball season as a major leaguer. But the bigger concern I have going forward, obviously, is with Hayden Birdsong. But the big question going forward in the here and now is who's the starter? Is it Carson Wisenhunt that's going to start on Monday? I have a sense that he will.
Why? I thought that we would find out last night who that was going to be. And we asked Bob that, and basically it was, well, you know what? I think we have some words on what Bob said, what the rotation would look like. Here is how Bob would describe the rotation going forward.
In flux. So we have to cover Sunday. We're probably going to have to cover Tuesday. You know, we do have an extensive bullpen right now. We'll see if we can cover the Sunday game out of the bullpen, and then probably Tuesday we're going to have to make a move. Just depends on how it goes here these first two games. We have to be prepared for anything.
And then he also went on to say what the short-term rotation plan is going to be.
Sunday we're considering doing a bullpen game. Yeah, just depends on how these next two games go. We do have a pretty extensive pen right now with Beck being here too, and we did just have the off day. Got Robbie and Webby going, so hopefully it's more in-house on Sunday.
Do you have an idea who you might go to on Tuesday and who you going to on Monday?
Well, Monday would be... No, wait a minute. JV's Tuesday, so Monday it would be. Sunday and Monday. Yeah. Sunday we feel pretty good about the bullpen. Monday we have to bring somebody up. I don't know yet.
So again, yeah, so it's going to be a bullpen game tomorrow, and I think that puts a lot of pressure on Robbie Ray to go at least 7 innings tonight so he can preserve that bullpen. And the last guy I think you really want to see come into the game tonight is Tristan Beck. I don't think you want to see Joey Lucchese tonight either. Those are your longer arms there. So that's the near-term plan for the rotation.
Is Jelly still up?
Jelly is still up. He has been called up. He was brought back
He started the last, I want to say. Well,
no, he started the game that...
Kyle Harrison
got. Yeah, Kyle Harris was traded 20 minutes before
first pitch. He actually pitched well in that game.
It was the first time he's ever pitched. It was the first time he'd ever started a game. And yeah, for all intents and purposes, when you're finding out 20 minutes prior to facing the defending World Series champions in L.A., oh, hey, we need you to go make your first start. Yeah, that's one of those ones where it's just like, there's a lot of reasons why Giants fans didn't really take that game that seriously that night. Part of it is because we were too busy looking into Rafi Devers' stats. Another part of it is just like, can you really blame Sean Jelly for the struggles he had that night against the Dodgers when you consider the situation there? But I think, yeah, he's an option for an inning or two. Tristan Beck can give you 3 or 4 innings. Lucchese can give you 2 or 3 innings. So you probably want to keep away from those guys tonight. All to say, the answer to your initial question, Dan, of who starts Monday, I would imagine Wisenhunt is in the lead for that, but it could also depend on how these next two games go. It might be two bullpen games. Who really knows right now? Maybe Buster expects to land someone in a trade between now and Monday morning who he can slot in to the rotation against the Pirates on Monday night. So there's a lot of different options they can go with. I did ask Bob any names you're considering. Bob said that, you know, I do have names. I'm not going to tell you who they are. And Andrew Baggerly, who covers the Giants for The Athletic, does a good job doing that. He asked, is Wisenhunt on the list of names you're considering? And Bob did confirm, yes, Carson Wisenhunt is on the list of names that is being considered for Monday.
It's got to be Wisenhunt.
It just seems like the obvious choice. So yeah, I mean that's where I'm going to lean to if I'm going to put money on it, which I don't because I don't bet on sports. I would probably put it on Carson Wisenhunt being the guy on Monday night. Again, you're against a bad Pirates team. Like it feels like it'll be a good opportunity for him to get his first big league start in that situation.
I guess the bigger point in all of this is, you know, how did we get here? You know, all of a sudden you go from what was the strength of this baseball team that now once you get into the third guy in your rotation, it becomes a bullpen game. And then I don't know. So that pretty much sums it up where the Giants are at it, as far as their pitching is concerned, which was once the strength of the team. And now that you're not hitting any longer, that's a bad cocktail, man.
Well, yeah, but I think, again, this is, let's look at another team, the New York Yankees, who, you know, they're
struggling.
A team that's, they're a team that's built on offense. When you look at that lineup, when you got the guys in that lineup, when you got Aaron Judge, the best hitter on the planet, possibly, and you got guys like Cody Bellinger, Jazz Chisholm, Giancarlo Stanton, you got a stacked lineup there, and they've been struggling. Why are they struggling? They're not hitting all that well. And so when a team's strength starts to struggle, I think that's a little bit worse. Like, if the Giants were still pitching and playing defense well and we were getting the same kind of piss-poor offense, it's like, you know, that's normal, you know, because it's as you know the Joker would say, it's all part of the plan. You expect the Giants to be like that. But when the offense is doing okay, but the pitching and defense struggles, but then everyone loses their minds because that's not part of the plan. With the Yankees, a similar situation. The struggles are going to be accentuated. The panic is going to be accentuated a bit because they're struggling in a way they're not supposed to struggle. When the areas that are supposed to struggle, it's okay, you'll take that. That's where I think last night's loss sucks even more because it's the third rough start in a row for Logan Webb. He's clearly feeling it. You know, we weren't able to pull the sound this morning. Our sound system was having some issues, but Logan Webb and his postgame pressers, yeah, he was in a salty mood after that Friday night game against the Dodgers where he even got the win. He was kind of irritated because of how hard he got hit that night. Last night, he could also tell that he was big frustrated, and I totally understand it. He's a guy who holds himself to a very high degree of excellence, and he didn't reach that, and it wears on him a bit. And I do wonder if mentally, I wanted to ask Contos this. We didn't really get around to it, though. But, Dan, you remember back in 2010, 2011, whenever Tim Lincecum took the mound, they called it Happy Lincecum Day because you felt that you're going to win that day. When you got Timmy on the mound, you're feeling like that's a W. In 2012, it was a Matt Cain day because whenever Matt Cain was on the mound, you're feeling, oh, yeah, we're good. We got Kaner on the mound. We're gonna run roughshod over these guys. Same thing with Madison Bumgarner, Mad Bum days. You always got excited for Mad Bum days because Mad Bum days were win days. And I kind of wonder with Logan Webb, I mean, again, he's gotten screwed on the run support, but for the most part, when Logan Webb's pitching, you feel very good about your chances to win that game. And I do kind of wonder if for the guys in the dugout, when they see their ace, their guy, their Logan Webb day guy go out and get roughed up a little bit, I am curious what the mental impact of that is on the rest of the team there. Like, dang, if our horse is getting roughed up, like, we got to step it up. It puts more pressure on the lineup now to pick up the guy who's usually picking them up. And then you kind of hear, you know, George Contos talk about how, you know, guys start to get tense. They start to overthink these things. I do wonder if there is a trickle effect of when your ace is struggling, what kind of a mental impact that has on the lineup as well.
Well, you would never know it because whether the ace is struggling or otherwise, they're not hitting. So that's where it begins and ends with me. I get it. The pitching is the strength. So it's going to be accentuated, and there's even more of a concern when the strength of your baseball team is not doing well. But I would also remind people that when the Giants were doing well and winning World Series, yes, it was pitching and defense, but you were getting just enough hitting.
Timely hitting, and that's, yeah.
This is no hitting. This is nunca. You're talking about absolutely nothing here. Nada, rather. Nunca's never. Nada's nothing.
I thought you said Luka for a second, like Luka Doncic.
It's not Luka.
I don't think it would be that either.
It is absolutely, you're getting the middle of a bagel. It's nothing. And that's,
egg.
Again, it's not the strength, but it's still a consistent concern with this baseball team. As good as your pitching is, and as good as your defense might be, and that could be sort of like how this team is being built in terms of the architect, whoever's putting this thing together, but you still have to hit a little bit. You still got to drive in a run occasionally. You know, you need to score more runs than the opposing team, right? So you need at least one digit or two. And this team at times cannot muster up enough runs. And I don't care how good your pitching and your defense and your bullpen is, at some point you have to hit the damn baseball.
Yeah, and again, this is where the frustration of last night really comes in, because they were getting hits last night, Dan. They got 9 hits. Earlier this week in Toronto, they somehow pulled off an amazing feat of 11 hits and no runs, something that had never, ever been done before in the history of Giants baseball. So they are getting hits now, and this is the next level of the frustration where, and I think this has been, at the end of the day, the biggest reason for the Giants' struggles this year. It's not been when the pitching doesn't come through. It's not the bullpen issues. It's not even the lack of hitting. It's the lack of hitting with a runner in scoring position. And that has been the biggest difference between what we saw this team in April and what we've seen from this team since then. In April, Dan, they were still, you know, in the middle of the pack offensively, batting average, runs scored, all those things. But in runners in scoring position, they were hitting, I want to say, 260-something with runners in scoring position, 277.
Oh, all those walk-offs in the beginning of the year?
Oh, yeah. They have 9 walk-offs on the year so far. So, yeah, they had around 260, 270. I'll give specific stats on the other side here. I'm going off memory on this one. Since the end of April, though, the hitting metrics have mostly been kind of similar. You know, batting average-wise, runs per game, BABIP, all those things. The biggest drop-off, though, has been their batting average with runners in scoring position, where they're hitting around 220 ever since the start of May. So the hitting team we saw in April was an okay hitting team. Since then, they've been an okay hitting team. The difference was, though, the okay hitting team in April was finishing the job, whereas the okay hitting team since then has not been finishing the job, and that's why they're not a great hitting team anymore, is because even when they do start to get runs going, they don't do, or once they start to get hits going, they don't turn those hits into runs. And that's where I think it's not the bullpen that's been the reason why the Giants are underwhelming. It's not the starting rotation. It's not the defense. It's not the lack of production from Willy Adames. It's not an error from Elliot Ramos or Jung-Hoo Lee. It is a team-wide issue where everybody, when guys come up with runners in scoring position, there is an inability to get the job done in those situations. And that, more than anything, is why the Giants are in this situation.
And there's no way to fix it.
Well, the only way to fix it is to just
do it.
As they say at Nike, just do it. You know, you got to Nike that stuff, bro. That's not the actual line. But that's what they got to do. Because you got to think, I like to believe that hitting is contagious. When one guy gets going, everybody else will get going too. You got 4 guys hitting in this lineup right now, and no one.
Yeah, but didn't we think that they got on track in Atlanta? That's what's so frustrating. You're like, oh, Devers is hitting, and so is Adames, and so is Chapman, and so is Elliot Ramos.
Exactly. You have 4 guys who are hitting. You think that would be enough, but then you look at the bottom of the lineup, and they're just pooing the bed for you last night, doing absolutely nothing. And it's you're getting opportunities, but then you're not cashing in. And then, of course, you get the 5th inning where you got first and second and no out. And those 3 guys, 3 of those 4 guys who are hitting, go pop out, strike out, pop up. That's a backbreaker right there. And the Giants really did not threaten at any point after that. They did get Mike Yastrzemski to third base in the 6th inning there, but by and large, there was no fight left in the Giants after that 5th inning there. So we're going to wrap this show up on the other side. What are the expectations for the Giants going into the trade deadline? Because this is the last 30 minutes of the show before the trade deadline this Thursday. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Look to tonight's game. Can the Giants bounce back? And yeah, a lot of pressure on Robbie Ray to end this little slide here for the Giants tonight and get the Giants back in the win column. So we'll finish the wrap on the other side. That is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap, the best Giants talk in the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
30 minutes left of the best Giants talk in the game. Sam Lubman here alongside Dan Devone, Zach Green, the pride of the University of Indiana, in the back pushing all the buttons, making sure that we are staying on air. He's doing a great job today. Someone who wasn't doing a great job, at least last night, was the San Francisco Giants after they lost 8-1 to the New York Mets. They will get another chance today to go against them as first pitch is going to be at 6:05 tonight. It will be Dave Peterson, the all-star, going against Robbie Ray, the Giants all-star lefty. So Giants hoping to get back into the win column tonight because this is a... It's a very big week for the Giants here with the trade deadline coming up. George Contos, we had him on at 10:30 on the River Islands guest line. You can go back and rewatch that on YouTube or on the free Odyssey app. He expects a aggressive Buster Posey this Thursday at the deadline. Dan, are you expecting an aggressive Buster Posey at the deadline this Thursday?
I sure am. Listen, if getting Rafi Devers is any sort of an indicator... Here, move over. Here comes one. Merrill Kelly is what I want to see.
That would, yeah, Merrill Kelly, that would probably be up there in terms of the dream for me. I think Joe Ryan, obviously, that is the pinnacle right there. That's going to be for the more desperate teams. I think a team like the Yankees or the Phillies.
I just don't know if they have enough assets for Ryan unless you're willing to deal Eldridge.
Yeah, I think the big boys in the league, those are going to be the ones who are going to be in on Joe Ryan there. I do believe that Merrill Kelly is within the Giants' price range there. If the option is Merrill Kelly or Carson Wisenhunt, I will make that trade. I would trade Wisenhunt for Kelly straight up. I would probably rather trade for Zach Gallen over Merrill Kelly straight up just because Gallen, I think, has a little bit more team control after that. But
is he healthy again?
Gallen, I mean, he's been pitching. He's been having a rough year. That's a guy who you're probably buying low on. He's got a 5.58 ERA and 121 innings pitched while getting about five runs of support per nine innings. So he's some good stuff to like about him. That 5.58 ERA is pretty rough. He does have a FIP of 4.86, though, so there is a little bit of bad luck he's had there. So Zach Gallen could be a buy low guy who you're thinking that you can fix right now, but he still has a track record that will make him not. He'll be a more expensive buy low option, as I say something that's kind of an oxymoron there.
Well, Canto's mentioned Alcantara, and his ERA is like he's almost at seven.
He's got a 6.66 ERA right now. He's got Satan's ERA. But with a 4.48 FIP over 104 innings here. And he's another guy. He's getting good run support. BABIP at 297, which is about what you would expect it to be. That just, I don't know. That seems like that's a reclamation project right there. Because Alcantara, he's a guy who, again, he looks like he could, a couple years ago, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. But now it's just, that feels like a lottery ticket with him. Yeah. I'm not giving up a top 10 for Alcantara right now.
So I heard this kicked around. Just food for thought. Just put pitching aside for a moment. Obviously, it's an area of need. Well, let's just say you wanted to go get, you need another bat, which I think they clearly do. What do you think of Stephen Kwan?
That's one where you might need to part with Bryce Eldridge to make that happen. I know Kwan's been a guy who's popped up a little bit. He's a popular choice now. The Guardians are in the fringes of the playoff hunt. He is a local guy, Stephen Kwan.
Moscato, shout out.
Exactly. So it's the hang up I have there is, yeah, that is a price one where a lot of teams will be interested in him. It's going to take a lot to get a guy like Stephen Kwan. That being said, though, like if I'm going to move Bryce Eldridge, which I don't want to do, but if I'm going to move him for anyone, it has to be for a franchise centerpiece type player. And Stephen Kwan, I don't know if he's like a build a lineup around him kind of guy, but he's definitely a he's the kind of guy who can lead a franchise. Not the leader, but one of like the number two or number three guys.
I would agree with that.
He could be part of an established franchise core. That's a guy who, you know what, if it's Eldridge for Kwan straight up, I would have to think about that one. I don't know if I would immediately say no on that one.
Okay, just for the sake of discussion, let's just say let's remove Eldridge from the equation. Elliot Ramos, part of the package?
Probably, yes.
Ramos and Wisenhunt, and maybe you have to throw in Matos and even Luciano.
Yeah, you know, if that's the package, those four guys for Stephen Kwan, yeah, I feel like that sounds doable.
Yeah, but I don't think that would happen.
I mean,
I don't think it's enough.
If the Giants could come up with that kind of a package, there's a chance that someone else could come up with a better package, unfortunately. But no, I would absolutely sign off on that one. If I'm going to trade a Bryce Eldridge, yeah, I would consider it for a Stephen Kwan. I would look for other options. But if I'm moving Bryce Eldridge, it's for a guy who's going to be here for several more years. One of the big, like it's like I said, it's got to be like a Gunnar Henderson type guy. Like the people who I would move Bryce Eldridge for,
are
the players
control.
Who just aren't going to be on the market.
I think team control is really important.
Absolutely.
And you have to have a guy for at least 3 or 4 years. That's the thing about Elliot Ramos. You got about another 4 or 5 years of him under team control. So, and I want to say Kwan is 2 years. So you got 2 more years of under team control before he becomes.
And I trust Buster Posey to be able to get a deal done to keep him around here if that would so be the deal there. So, the thing, yeah, with Kwan, and I see in the YouTube chat, you know, where would he go? The outfield is backed up. But yeah, you would be moving off Ramos in that situation. That's one of those situations where if you got Stephen Kwan, you find a way to get him into the lineup.
He's a perennial gold glove left fielder.
Exactly. And he's exactly what this team needs contact wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's exactly what this team needs contact wise. He'd be a great leadoff hitter, would take all the pressure off of needing to put Jung-Hoo Lee in that spot.
Yeah.
You know, you could move Jung-Hoo Lee in the seventh spot last night. Did go 2-for-4 last night, got a double and a single, but by then the game was so far out of reach that it didn't really matter. You talk about, again, internal acquisitions, getting better production from Jung-Hoo Lee finally would be as good as a trade deadline acquisition, because I do think, and I know there is a desire for Giants fans to find a bat. I feel like any offensive improvements to this team are just going to have to be internal. It's going to be Elliot Ramos putting together consistent at-bats. It's going to be Jung-Hoo Lee putting together consistent at-bats. It's going to be Casey Schmidt rediscovering that stroke he had before the All-Star break. That, I think, is the offensive improvement you're going to see from this team. I don't envision this team going out and landing a bat.
Speaking of Bryce Eldridge, who, by the way, is back. He's healthy. Hamstring is okay.
Had a couple of home runs this week.
Yeah, he went that Oppo home run, which I happened to see on YouTube. Man, he is just – it's almost as if, like, Dr. Frankenstein created the perfect baseball player. He is fluid, shoulders, broad shoulders, 6'7". I mean, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
But he could help the Warriors out
before.
Where
is he going to – I mean, it's sort of interesting because Devers has to be your first baseman, right? If Devers is picking up a glove, and I still want to see Devers have to dig one out. Like, we still – I don't know. Have you seen a ball hit to him yet?
I don't. Let me see. Let me look at my scorebook from last night and see if anything starts with a 3. No, nothing was directly hit to him last night.
I'm still not sure. I just want to get an idea. A barometer is what it is that we're dealing with defensively here.
Oh, it's going to get ugly at some point. I mean, we've been warned about this. There's going to be a day. I mean, he's never played the position before. I mean, Dan, one of the reasons why the Giants are hesitant to call Bryce Eldridge up is because they don't want him learning first base at the big league level. And yet, that's exactly what they're going to be making Rafi Devers do. Granted, different situation. Rafi's been in the big leagues for several years. He's won a World Series. He's played third base.
He has played a corner infield position, yeah. Albeit not first.
Exactly. But again, yeah, we know. I'll say this, there's going to come a day, there's going to come a game, it's going to happen soon, it could even happen tonight, which would really suck. Rafi Devers' defense is going to rear its ugly head, and it's going to bite this team in the ass, and it might cost this team a game. That's just something that Giants fans need to be prepared for. It's something the Giants aren't prepared for. It's something that Bob Melvin has warned us about. It's going to happen. Now, as for where Bryce Eldridge plays, because yeah, I do agree, I think you do need to keep Rafi in the field, because I think he's one of those guys where He can't sit around for
an
hour.
He's engaged.
He needs to be engaged in the field here. And the easy answer is, well, then you would have Bryce Eldridge be your DH. But that's where, and I've spoken on this in the past, Dan, is that I don't know if I want Eldridge to be the DH too, because for the same reason as Rafi, I don't really want Bryce Eldridge sitting in the dugout for an hour in between at-bats. Like, he strikes out his first at-bat, I don't want him sitting around for an hour thinking, man, I struck out. No, I want him getting back in the field, taking his mind off of it, so that way he can't dwell on it. So you got, basically with Rafi and Eldridge, you got two guys who could be first basemen and DHs, but are better off as first basemen than they are DH.
And maybe they just share that? Maybe Devers is a first baseman 60% of the time?
A double platoon?
And the other 40%, he's DHing, and then you have Eldridge play first base the days that Devers is the DH. You know,
Giants fans would absolutely
you hope
love
that. Well, I would agree with you, especially as these games get more important down the stretch, that he could lose you a game, but you're hoping that he wins you more games than he loses.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Look at his counterpart tonight. Pete Alonso is a perfect example. Tremendous hitter. Not a good defensive first baseman.
No.
And he puts in the work, but he has never been a good...
He can handle the position, yeah.
He's okay. He's out, and I think that's all you would want out of Rafi Devers. But actually, I don't even know, because I just want to see at least... I just want to see him have to pick something at first base. Like, I want to see somebody handcuff him with a low throw and just see him backhand. I just don't know what we're working with.
I mean, if it's anything like what we've seen in the pregame warm-ups that he does, it's not going to be pretty, which... Again, though, there's a level of acceptance on that, because if he costs you one or two games with his glove, it's okay if it's because he's making it up with three or four games with his bat. And so that's just the trade-off that the Giants are going to go with there. And I don't know. Like, it's clearly obvious, because, again, it's three games since he's been at first base, and he just looks so much more locked in at the plate. And so I don't know if you can go back to having him be a DH, because remember, Dan, this is the first year he's been only a DH.
Yeah.
He was a third baseman for the first several years of his career. They had him DH, and you know he was still having a great year, but I think part of the reason why he got off to a slow start here is just like, yeah, he came in here and he's DHing only in a new area, and you have all this new going on. He's throwing off of his routine, and he doesn't get to play the field. I do think that, yeah, that played a role in the slow start that he's had.
Did you see him at first base last night? He's hamming it up with Lindor. Mauricio came over, gave him a shove. He's talking to Soto about the family. I don't know what they're talking about, but there's obvious.
Oh, yeah.
He's having conversation. You're not doing that when you're hitting in the cage by yourself in between innings.
And Rafi, I mean, he's a happy guy. He's a social guy. You see him joking around a lot. I do think, just the fact that he's in the field, he doesn't have to sit in the dugout by himself anymore. Because remember, Daniel, the relievers, they're not in the dugout either. This isn't the old, Oracle Park days, pre-bullpen, where, the relievers and whatnot were sitting in the dugout with you during games. When the team takes the field, it's just you, a couple guys on the bench, and the coaches. You're not sitting there with anybody. And so I do think, for a guy like Rafi getting out there, being able to talk and socialize in the field, so to speak, I think all those things are helping him feel more comfortable at the plate and in the field, which is why you're going to see him start to play better. But it does present an interesting question of just how do you factor Bryce Eldridge into that in the future? And the answer to that is, let Buster Posey figure that out.
His one-handed home run, which I'm sure you guys talked about. I'm not sure if you did. I'm assuming you did. That one-handed home run he had in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Where he just, there was basically no.
The first one he had, where he just went down and just completely golfed it out of there.
They always talk about, use your legs as your leverage. That's for all the shit. I don't think he uses lower body whatsoever.
That was a textbook Vladimir Guerrero, Pablo.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sandoval kind of swing. Those are the only guys I've seen hit balls like that. Pablo and Vlad, bad ball hitters. Rafi, he's got some bad ball hitting in him.
Yeah, but Vlad would always put his big button to it, or he'd get those tree trunk.
Well, he had an incredible extension, too, with his bat as well. He could go out, and Pablo, too, they could just extend their bat out and just, you could throw the ball 5 feet out the zone, they could still extend out and get
so
it.
So for those of you, and you can look it up on YouTube, what it reminded me of as a young man was Kirk Gibson of the 1988 World Series hit a similar home run to beat Dennis Eckersley and walk off the Oakland A's in the World Series of Game 1, where he just got a pitch that looked like he was getting handcuffed and he just reached down and somehow the thing went out of the park. And there were similarities I felt with that home run when I saw Devers. Devers, you know what he's a good sign? And I heard this from somebody that covered him out in Boston, is that when he's turning on that pitch, that usually ties up most left-handers that's down and in. He's hitting that thing solidly to right field, and he's been doing that on numerous occasions. And that's how he hit that home run, which is a pitch that was sort of low and inside. And for a left-hander, that's usually a nightmare, but he got it out. So yeah.
He just golfed it. Again, what I love about his swing is just he looks like a guy who just – he could hit every side of the field too.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that just gets me – again, that's why we keep feeling more and more excited about what he can do. And can he lead this team? Can and I think that's going to be a thing to watch here down the stretch is when you get a guy like Rafi Devers, a guy who's getting paid that big money, who's going to be the centerpiece of this lineup – for the next 8 years after this season, it's only again he's the best power hitter they've had in this lineup since Barry Bonds, and Barry Bonds was capable of carrying a team on his own with his bat, and I think that's what we're going to need to see here down the stretch in these last 2 months is can Rafi just go on a 2 month heater here, and
but somebody's got to join him.
Well, I mean, again, I think you're getting that from Adames, you're getting that a little bit from Chapman, but I'm talking about just like an absolute heater here, Dan, where he's hitting like 370 for the next month or so. Something that just where every time he comes up, he feels like he's about to do an incredible amount of damage. And I don't mean like a hot stretch where he's just hitting the ball well. I need a hot stretch where he's, you know, driving runners in scoring position. And if he could just really be that guy, can he lift this lineup up enough to where, you know, it's offsetting some of these pitching struggles so long as they're happening. It's a lot of pressure to put.
I mean, listen, when you make that much money.
That's the situation you're in right now,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I get it. When you make that sort of money, it just comes with pressure. Like, you've got to do this.
Like, you're the dude on this team now. Like, when he was originally in Boston, he had other guys around him. Obviously, you know, Mookie Betts was there and whatnot. But Rafi was, you know, he was the last guy standing there at the end. And now he is the guy here. He's not alone, but he is the guy here. Yeah, it is. That is what pressure looks like. That is what happens when you become the big guy. So, yeah, I think it's totally fair to put that pressure on Rafi because he's shown throughout his career that he's a guy who can be someone who can handle that level of pressure there. So, and I think that is also why, again, I know a lot of people want to see a bat get added, and that's why, you know, we start off this conversation by bringing up Stephen Kwan. I do think, though, again, as I said the other day, the offensive improvements are going to come from within. I don't think they're calling anybody up. I don't think it's going to be a Bryce Eldridge walking through that door to save things. I mean, when you think about what positions in the field they even need to fix, I mean, if you're moving off of Ramos, that's a bigger trade, but I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to move off Yaz. They're clearly not going to move off Jung-Hoo Lee. The only other position in the field that could really need to be improved is maybe second base, but I think they seem willing to just kind of give it a shot with Casey there for now, unless a better second base option comes up. The only other position you can maybe look to upgrade right now then becomes the catching spot. And, you know, I talked about this with Spadoni yesterday in the Morning Roast that there is there's chatter out there of Adley Rutschman being dealt from the Baltimore Orioles. And he's having a down year right now. I think he's sitting around 220-something with 8 home runs, which, you know, for a standard catcher, that's pretty good. But Rutschman is a centerpiece of the lineup kind of catcher. That's that could be an interesting move there if the Giants decide to go in that direction, especially because Bailey's been swinging the bat hot right now, and maybe that upgrades his trade value.
All things being relative,
he's swinging a better bat lately.
Better, yeah.
And he's been swinging a good bat this month. And for a catcher, again, if you're a catcher hitting 270 over any stretch, which is I think what Bailey's been doing this month, you're doing pretty good here. And I do believe this is going to be the highest value Bailey will ever have, which is crazy to say because I do think next year, Dan, when ABS comes in more full-time, Bailey's value as a pitch framer is going to decrease significantly. And so if there's a situation where you can move off Bailey now and bring in a proven commodity in an Adley Rutschman, and the Orioles, they have a lot of catching depth right now that enables them to move off of Rutschman, I'd at least look into it. And if I'm Buster Posey and who knows a thing or two about catching, if Buster's signing up on Rutschman, you won't need to, you know, break my arm to get me to sign off on
it. Well, I think when I look at this baseball team from an offensive standpoint, there's no areas of need right now. There just isn't. There isn't that glaring, gaping hole as there has been in the past. You're pretty much solid at every position 1 through 9. Yeah, you can go out and you can get somebody for Bailey, but Bailey's not your problem.
No.
Isn't the reason why you're struggling offensively. I think this team Again, it's inexplicable as to why these good players with a proven track record are not hitting with runners in scoring position. But when you say that, it only means that at some point it's going to average out. Doesn't it have to? At some point that they're going to be able to do exactly that? I don't think there's – unlike years in the past, you don't look at this team and saying, wow, who's going to play shortstop now that Crawford isn't here? Nick Ahmed? It's not Luciano. What the hell are we going to do? You don't have any of those concerns anymore. So there is a level of sort of optimism, I guess, there, that at some point they're going to hit. They have to.
Well, here's the problem, Dan. And again, it boils down to, I think we started the show off with this point. We're going to finish the show off at this point. It is the runners in scoring position. As a team, they are hitting .233 with runners in scoring position this year. That is 25th best in baseball, which is not very good. But wait, there's more. It gets worse. If you go from May 1st onward, they're hitting .219 with runners in scoring position. That is by far the worst in baseball. 10 points below the second worst team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are hitting .229 with runners in scoring position since May 1st. At the end of the day, there's no amount of pitching help that is going to fix that. There's no amount of bullpen help that's going to fix that. It's simply a matter of these hitters need to just figure out a way to start driving in these runners who are in scoring position. If they could just start getting these hits, taking that pressure off of them when they're in those situations, stop being tense when there's a runner on second base and actually be loose when there's a runner on second base, that's going to be the difference that turns the Giants from the struggling team that we're seeing right now into the playoff team that we expect them to be. That's going to be the difference at the end of the day. And I don't know what deadline acquisition fixes the runners in scoring position problem, but at the end of the day, like, you take care of that. If you could just be a team that can hit, if they could hit .260 with runners in scoring position the rest of the year, which is what they hit in April, that would do wonders for the pitching. That would do wonders for the defense. It would do wonders for the coaching staff. It would do wonders for the fans. It would do wonders for the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap.
Well, look, it's obviously something that's in their head. I think when there's a runner at second base and Devers is standing in the plate, or Adamas or Chapman, whether they want to admit this or not, they realize there's a voice in the back of their head somewhere that's like, uh-oh, there's a runner out there.
Here we go again.
And this is where you've struggled. And all you need to do is press a little bit. All you need to do is just simply get off your game a little bit, and that's the end of it. There's no fixing that. That just has to take care of itself organically.
The more you think about what you're trying to do at the plate, the harder it's going to be. This is something, again, we were talking with Dom Smith last week about, you know, what he's learned from working with Barry Bonds. And Dom was basically saying, you know, when you're going up thinking home run, you're not going to get a home run. So you got to go up and just think good contact and the results will come. That's basically where the Giants are at right now. These guys need to step in the batter's box and don't dwell on the runner on second.
What
don't
do they
dwell
always say? On where think middle in.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah,
just contact, go back.
Just put the wood on the ball. Just put the wood on the ball, and everything else will take care of itself then. So that has been the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap here on this wonderful summer Saturday morning. Dan, you're going to be traveling to parts unknown these next couple weeks.
I'll be gone for a little bit. It won't be the same, obviously, with whoever it is that you drag up here from AA, but no.
Yeah, we'll pull someone up from the minor leagues, or maybe we'll acquire someone at the deadline and then slot them in next Saturday, too. So, Dan, it's always a pleasure. Zach, great job on the board back there, working on his hair. Love to see that. I'm always a fan of people who work on their hair. So, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I'll be back next week. And until then, don't forget, everyone, Dodgers suck.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.